Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to everyone here today. I titled this particular message, Faithful in the Few or Faithful in the Small Things. Brethren, there was a time right before I was baptized long ago, I had literally wondered, would I feel something? Perhaps a tingle. Maybe an itch that I would have to scratch. I don't know. Well, maybe some kind of a vibration. Even though I was told that I wouldn't feel anything as the minister would lay his hands upon me to receive the Holy Spirit, you know, I still kind of pondered, would I feel something? Well, the minister turned out to be right. As soon as he laid hands upon me to receive God's Spirit, I didn't feel anything. I was about 17 and a half to 18 years of age at that time. And I can remember that spiritual understanding was somewhat new to me. I mean, after all, there is the physical and there is the spiritual dimensions that do exist. And you can read of that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44. In fact, let's see if I've got it right here. It is, we are sown in a natural or a human body, and it is raised a spiritual body. There is the natural, the physical, if you will, and there is a spiritual body. Then also begin to learn that there is also human reasoning and there is the spiritual reasonings. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, God said that, particularly when it comes to spiritual reasonings and understandings, don't lean to your own understanding, your own ideals of what you think it would be, just like I pondered, would I feel something at baptism? The reasoning and the thinking and the thinking spiritually and the understanding the truths of this God that I was being introduced at that time, I had not really known before. And it was the beginning of an unforeseen adventure. And the dilemma that we all would face in our conversion process. In fact, it reminded me of what Paul would write in Romans 7. And it came a time that we all would really like to think and do as God says to think and to do. But that there is always what I wind up thinking and what I wind up doing sometime. And Paul said that he did find that between his own human spirit and God's spirit that would be dwelling in him, there was always a constant battle to do and to think right or to give in to the pulls of the flesh. Well, it took time for me to begin to learn that. And yet, to this day, I still ponder this blessing that we have all been given of his calling. And then of our acceptance of that calling. But sometimes in my weaker moments, I wonder why does God waste his time on me? Now, that's my thoughts, not God's thoughts. Why does God waste his time on me? And I wondered, well, have you yourself ever pondered that? Maybe not in those words, but in other ways. After all, David did. In Psalms 8, in verse 4, you remember what David said. What is man? What am I? What is man that you would even think about him, consider him? And I think about that quite a lot. As we begin to understand, or as we begin to understand the true God of the Bible, brethren, we came to the reality that this God is not the God that I, or perhaps even you, grew up with or thought that we were familiar with in our younger days, way back when. And even if we were not really following God at that time, we did at least acknowledge God existed. We knew that he was up in heaven, and that right beside him was his son. But those were yesteryear or yesterday experiences that you may have had, as I did. Were, at least for me, there were times that it was automatically understood by people on the street or neighbors and so forth, that all we had to do was to believe in Christ and be good, and you're going to go to heaven. And even if you still believed in Christ or God, and you were not good, well, you'll go straight to hell. Friends, that is the way it was, and how it was believed in yesteryear, long ago. And I do believe sometimes it still seems to be the way that it is today. It just seems that no matter how professionally these heaven and hell issues are taught today, in the big churches, in the fine robes that people wear, or if that message is taught in a small little building where people get up and shout, yell, and scream, or if you have a person who is calm and cool, dressed up in his suit and tie or a nice shirt, or in some cases, maybe in her blouse. It winds up being the same teaching. It boils down to that, as I have always noticed. Be good, go to heaven. Don't be good, happy trails to you, for you're about to have a very warm welcome and experience. And some truths that I remember that seemed to be correct at that time, yes, I heard the phrase often, you go to the church of your choice on Sunday. Well, that sounded logical to me. Get yourself saved, and your reward will be heaven for being so good. And why don't you observe those holidays like Christmas or Easter or whatever came up at the time, Halloween, whatever. Holidays, days that we understand never were in the Bible to begin with. And a good, simple little study of that and so many other subjects will prove thoughts like that and teachings like that are really wrong. By most people, they just don't seem or never knew much about the true God, nor that this God had a purpose, a plan that he is right now working out here below. Remember Romans 8, verse 28. Because in Romans 8, 28, it said, and we know that all things work together for good. Well, we know that because the calling went out. We accepted that calling. And we begin to understand Romans 8, 28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And in some translations, according to his plan. He had a plan. He's got a plan. Now, doesn't it seem in this Christian society that many just follow a way or a teaching that was handed down by others to them, by their parents, by guardians, by teachers, by society, by preachers, that they themselves had been handed down these ideals and teachings and so forth. And it just kept going on, going on. And yet, at the same time, brethren, this is a different world that we are living in today. And frankly, sometimes I don't know who believes what any longer. And yet, at the same time, I do believe, and probably by the older generations that I am now privileged to be a part of, I don't know, but I do believe some still cling to the old rugged cross. And they do believe that if we never meet again on this side of heaven, there is another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the rivers, by the side of the river of life. That is a teaching, brethren, in a hymn. And I'm not making fun of that, because for many years growing up, I may have not understood all of that, but it sounded logical to me. And I never thought, until God revealed his truths a little to me at one time, that those beliefs were wrong teachings. And I came to find out that Mr. Herbert Armstrong, when his wife was teaching him teachings, you remember what he said in so many words, "I can't believe all these churches have been wrong for all these hundreds of years." But they were. Then comes the time, brethren, God's truths were revealed to us by a process much like what I have found in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And in verse 9 and 10. "As we were then, to one extent or the other, mere babes in Christ." Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. Because it says here, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." Fairly new. "For precept must be upon precept, and here a little, and there a little." And that's how I picked up a lot of truth, and I think that's how you have, and we continue to practice this today. "And in your own manner, we came to realize each one of us may have been worshiping God we thought we knew, or at least we had acknowledged God, but we may have been acknowledging and worshiping God in vain." Matthew 15:9. Because Christ said, "In vain they worship me." And how did we worship God? "Teaching as doctrines the commandments," man-made ideals, man-made human rules that were taught by men. Not necessarily they were doing this because they were trying to deceive. But when it's handed down, and handed down, and nobody really looks into it. "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." God would reveal his truth to you as the calling would go out. And, brethren, as you came to the time that you would allow God's Spirit to lead you into that truth more and more and more. And we're still doing that. In fact, in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led or guided by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is true to the point that God says His Spirit must be working in us. Romans 8:9, now if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of His. And therefore, you're not a son of God. But if you have His Spirit, as He says we must have, then you are the children of God. God's Spirit helps us, brethren, to grow in His favor and His grace and His knowledge, as we read in 2 Peter 3:18. The knowledge that we had little of before your calling. God's Spirit helps us to overcome and keep under control our sinful ways that we have found ourselves to be in slavery to. That's why we need the Spirit of God to help us. But there is always that constant battle that Paul was talking about. Brethren, God's Spirit is, in essence, a down payment, sometimes called earnest. It's a down payment showing God's sincerity to you of His intention to give you eternal life. But we had to have help. And so He gave to us as an earnest payment His Spirit, regarded as a sign of a promise of what is to come for each and every one of us. His Spirit that we have been given sets us free from all the deceptions, the false teachings, and the errors. Of course, in another part of God's truth. And we should be able to recognize these as time goes on. All these errors and deceptions that, biblically speaking, permeate, go throughout all the land. And it still happens. Yet, God's Spirit will only guide us and lead us to His ways as we fully choose His path for eternal life that He plans on giving to us. But here is the catcher. John 8, verse 31. John 8. Verse 31 and 32. Christ said, John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, if you, that we're more familiar with, if you abide with me, then I will abide with you. You are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. In John 15, Christ says the same thing. You abide with me, you stick to that tree, you stick to that vine. Don't waver off from it. And so, brethren, if we have found ourselves at times that we slack up on what God says, to stay with Him, abide with Him, to maintain His favor and His grace, it is very easy for people to drift from truth, make their excuses. I don't have time. I can't do it. God knows I'm sincere, but I'll get to it some other time. And then it is possible to slowly lose faith, become weary, but you stay weary and well-doing. And putting effort into those true tools of the trade that God says you need to be using to abide with Him and He in you. It is so easy, or it can be so easy, to extinguish or quench the Spirit of God And we are commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not his spirit. That spirit that would keep us sealed in his promise. There was a time, you remember Satan, how he is always looking for your weaknesses. But he's always, sometimes seems to me, be looking for your constant weaknesses that he could use to draw you away from God. You know, there came a time when, as it says, the sons of God came before him at one time. And there comes Satan, or Lucifer, or whatever, at that time. He walks in. God knows he was coming. God knows why he's there. But he asked Satan in Job 1:7, where have you come from? And why are you here? And Satan said, and I'm paraphrasing that, Satan said, well, if you must know, I come from roaming the earth, walking back to and fro. And why had he been doing that? 1 Peter 5:8. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks to and fro, here and there, seeking, detecting whom he may devour, who may be slowly drifting away from doing those things God says we need to do, who may be tending to lean to their own reasoning and understanding and asking why. We could be easily deceived. A little here and a little there. And so what are these methods, these tools that God says we had better be doing for your own growth, for your own protection? As God's Spirit will guide us to use these tools and teach us to walk this way, as it says in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Now, brethren, we may know these tools, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but we may know these tools. We've been taught these tools many years. But how much effort are we putting into them so that we may reach that calling of God that he says in Ephesians 4:1. He says he's given you an upward calling, or he's given you a calling. And he says in Philippians 3:14 that calling is an upward calling. In fact, it's probably the best calling, an upward calling we can receive from God to become God. That calling, brethren, to be as he is, perfect and mature, through his Holy Spirit guiding us, and us using those tools of the trade to grow, so that we may keep what God says we already are as far as he is concerned. In Psalms 82, verse 6, you are God's, and you all are the children of the Most High. That is, in essence, brethren, a big part of the plan and the purpose of God. And so what does God say we need to do to abide with him always, and that he will abide with us, so that we never will slack up? We find this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I'm not going to elaborate on what I know we're familiar with. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It needs to be a part of our life. Talk to God. Seek him, brethren, while he may still be found by you. I have found many times talking to God is a form of not always asking, gimme, 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 but of releasing frustrations to him. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:7, God says, cast your anxieties, your frustrations, whatever you want to name it. Talk to me about it, for I care for you. So I take full advantage of that. But also to learn how to become as God is, and as his Spirit leads us and guides us into his ways, we read Psalms 18, verse 30. Psalms 18, verse 30, which says, as for God, his way is perfect. Therefore, God says to you in Matthew 5:48, learn to become perfect, to become fully mature, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of God, to a perfect being, to the fullness and the measure of the fullness of Christ. For Christ is the end result. And how do we do this? 2 Timothy 2:15. As God's Spirit guides us, study to show yourselves approved to God, rightly dividing, therefore understanding the word of truth. And what is truth? John 17:17. Your word is truth. Psalms 119:160. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. And so, brethren, these are just two methods and tools of the trade that God says for us to be doing so that we may abide with him and he with us. By applying just these two methods of spiritual growth that I am skimming over at this time, and there are more, we do demonstrate to God our intent and our desire to humble ourselves before God, and that he, or that you will really want to stay with him and abide with him, and he will draw and abide with you. That is a promise from God. And the phrase, not my will but yours be done, carries much weight with God. As you read in Luke 22:42, not my will, but your will be done. As we apply his will in drawing near to him, it is, after all, brethren, for your own good. You know, brethren, Christ said in John 15:14, he said, as you are my friends, and you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Are we becoming God's friends, brethren? Therefore, let us use God's Spirit as never before, as we have recommitted ourselves to God during the Passover season. And let us reap God's admonition that we are so familiar with, and that he will either say or demonstrate that admonition as Christ returns to this earth. That verse, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, a few small things. And then he says, now it's time to enter into the joy of your Lord and your Master, as it is now time for you to enter into the kingdom of God.